So the people are doing their worst. They are plotting day and night. Okay? To kill America. They are plotting. So really, I don't think America can be at a greater risk than they are right now. So this man deciding to talk to somebody doesn't mean he's weak. Really, I believe that he will solve 50% of the problems just by showing somebody else that you are also important. Well, right now, the Americans behave as if George Bush, when he was coming to office, didn't think anybody else existed in the world. He said that Africa is a country plagued by disease. He thought Africa was a country. Africa. To him, it was a country. Now, oh God, how did I get there? Talking about arrogance, all right? It doesn't help. Now, some of the people who thought of them were actually quite arrogant, and a lot of us picked arrogance. And it's not their fault. They are not bad people, but they're arrogant. What happens is that knowledge pops up. One day, my wife and I were talking along this line. She was holding me responsible for the action of one of my, let me say, sons in the Lord, all right? One of my disciples. Can I use that expression? Maybe you go to church with somebody, and the preacher is preaching. Well, God! And the person says, why is he talking like that? Why does he not just make his point? And you go look at the person. What's your problem? He said, when the Bible was in, he said, no, that's not what the Bible says. Pastor Panky said that. You know, that kind of attitude. The one that my wife just looked at, she just came up and said, look, I hold you responsible. I said, for what? He said, yeah, the reason why this person is behaving like this. I said, no, it's not me. I said, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Knowledge makes arrogant. You cannot give the source of the knowledge as the reason why somebody is arrogant. Knowledge makes people arrogant. I was in a meeting once, and a young man was sitting beside me, and one man was in front, lying. You won't get my point. He was preaching. And everything he was preaching was pure unbelief and fear. This world has ended. If it's his exegesis, very deep, the kind of exegesis that deafens people, that is, you just go get confused. He pick up, take all the plates in the temple, the bowls, the candlesticks, the lampstands, and the incense. You know those typologies that when people are beginning to break it down, you don't know whether you're telling the truth or they're telling lies because you don't know anything anyway. The man was breaking it down, the lampstands, and then how the high priest approaches, how the incense goes off, the job of the incense. Me too, I was looking like this. I was saying that the role of praise and worship, it is to bring down. Anyway, he talked plenty that day. And he said, that's why it's important we should learn how to praise God, so we can bring Christ Jesus down again quickly from heaven. Of course, Paul said that it's not possible. He said, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven and bring Christ down? Is that not what he said? That one is not possible. He said, sit at my right hand until I make all thy enemies a footstool for thy feet. That's what he said. So the man said that, look, this world is spoiled. Our fathers have ruined the world. There's nothing left for us, we children. All we are just waiting for just for Jesus to come and remove us from this spoiled world. I said, Abba, you crossed Pastor Banky in that one. Nah. All your exegesis, I may leave you alone. I don't know. But the conclusion is error. You can't finish doing plenty calculation and integration and permutations and tell me that therefore 3 plus 3 is equal to 15. It is not. I may not understand how you got there. But if your conclusion is that there are 3 seats on this row, there are 3 seats on this row, therefore 15 people can sit in front row. I say, boy, see, I don't understand your differentiation, your integration, your combinations and permutations. I don't have any idea. But that 15 people will sit on a row because there are 3 seats on each side, that one I can easily disagree with. That's what happened that day between me and the man. But then being a bit mature, not too much, I did try. The one way they pay me inside my soul, I just shut up. One little boy beside me that came from one of the campuses around. He said, what? He said, it's a lie. Mejiono. He said, it's an Igbo. Like that. But of course, he wasn't shouting it loud. I look at the boy like, excuse me, will you cool down? Ah! Stop that! you know what just came to my mind? I said, this boy must be a young believer who is learning plenty. He's really learning. He's on fire for God. And he can't stand this. But the problem is that he has forgotten that it is his elder that is talking. And spiritual decency does not allow you to do what you are doing. I wanted to call him outside afterwards. I didn't do that. But what was my heart? I wanted to call him back and say, boy, I perceive you're a man going somewhere. I perceive that you love the Lord and you are learning the word. But please, don't ever do that thing again. It's the reason why you won't prosper. No, really. I just said, what is the problem? Now, I agreed with him. Everything the man said, he was in somewhere in the stadium, went for a program there a few years, shortly after I came to Enugu there. I looked at the guy. No. But what happened is, Bible says that knowledge puffs up. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the attitude. When we were in school, then we had a program. So that's what I was going to say. So a lot of us were quite arrogant. And we were going to have a lot of people come from other places who didn't know what we knew. And we had come to understand, as it were, that God looks on the inside and man looks on the outside, and righteousness is of the heart. Amen. And that actually the Greek word that translated holiness is hagios, and it has to do that, you know, it's from watching too much Reverend Chris Okoti and, you know, such things. We knew that, therefore. And when Paul was talking about veil and covering of the hair, it was had to do with, you know, we had all the grammar. It was there, knowledge. So for all this essence knowledge, people are coming. So people were getting ready. Our plan was that you go in there. Of course, people who are coming are very holy people. So somebody, a brother will go in and is wearing maybe a necklace. And the people actually, they didn't spell also when they arrived. I remember one particular sister. Her name was Stella. One of the people visiting, because we had to share them into all the rooms to stay with us and all of that. So the sister staying with her. In the morning, Stella woke up as usual. Had her bath as usual. Entered the room as usual. Trying to, you know, dress up as usual. Then she made the mistake of putting lipstick as usual. The sister said, come here, sit down. These are carnal things. You know, the sister was a bit like, what is going on here? The sister said, no, as a child of God. It was an afternoon. The sister came because I remember that day. I witnessed this one. So it wasn't the morning. I witnessed this. And then we had different sessions. So maybe they came to the room to rest. So they was fresh enough to go out. Or she just rushed in. I happened to have been there. Just pick her mirror. You know the way ladies do this thing. They carry it in her bag. The whole, you know. Just whip out the thing. Put the mirror. And they put the lipstick. The sister shouted, eh? That this is carnal. And Stella looked and said, don't you rub cream? I'm telling you. But later on, I realized that it was absolutely unnecessary. When such a situation was going to come up again, and this time around I was president, I instructed everybody in fellowship. All of you, when you are coming tomorrow, cover your hair. All of you. All of you. That's what I told them. Why? Because I believe in it, no? Just because those who are coming believe in it. And I don't think we should spend the 2 hours quarreling over whether hair should be covered or not. Paul said, whether we cover, it's not good or bad. Whether we don't cover, it is not good or bad. It doesn't make any difference. So why don't we cover if it will allow the fellowship? Do you follow the point I'm making? I remember I told my wife then that the first time she came to my home to see my parents, just to come and visit and show herself, I said, one mistake you will not make is to show up first of all in trousers. Don't do it. I said, don't make that mistake. You don't show up first day. The first day you can't enter my house. You go and, even if you like, lie down and kneel down, do anything, take it to my mama, you wear trousers, and you go lose it. How are you, Pele? Oh, mother, dad. But they look, say, God deliver me. Oh. Where did the monkey go to find a woman who they wear trousers? Now, funny enough, she knows my opinion. But you know, she doesn't have to think about it. Just cut a right first impression. Doesn't hurt. So first time you appeared, simple. You wear, Iruatibuba print. Long, touch ground. But please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying here. That I'm just going to say something that, so Paul explained that knowledge puffs up, but that we should be more concerned about how we bless other people rather than whether we know what we claim to know or we don't, all right? Now, having said all of that, so he was talking about idols and eating food sacrificed to idols. sometimes Christians want to raise things that to me are just out of point. You know, I don't know about Eastern Nigeria, but in the West and in the North, I'm sure of the North, in the West, I'm certain, every abattoir is manned by Muslims. Yes. Unless it's a private one, you know, maybe you have a meat shop and you kill your meat by yourself. And you can be sure that if the Muslims know, they won't buy meat from you. Yes. Oh, how many of you didn't know that? Did you all know that? You didn't know? That's it. If you go to, even Benin here, that they are not even predominantly Muslims. That's the way it is. All these public abattoirs where they slaughter cow. Good. In fact, I'm sure anywhere where you find a lot of northerners, the reason is because their own law is that before you kill an animal, you must do Allahu Akbar or one of those things. Yes. So all the meat you buy, it has been Allahu Akbarud upon. You go to Lagos, you go buy meat, there's Allahu Akbar on top of that meat. As you are eating it, the meat is saying Allahu Akbar. Nah, that's a joke. Now, actually, you know, some Christians make a big deal about it. Praise God, brethren, you know, these Muslims, what they are trying to do is to infiltrate into the heart of the believer by giving them meat offered to idols. Do you know, forget the fact that I'm like I am. If I can come and scare you, brethren, be careful, before you eat meat right now, better say the blood of Jesus 7 times. And Holy Ghost fire 6 times. Peradventure, better don't even eat. Start eating chicken. At least that one you are sure of who killed it. Let me tell you, that's the kind of... Because I've heard people tell me things like that. That's what Paul was preaching about here. If they like, let them say, Allah Akbar. After that, invoke all the spirits of the gods in India upon the meat. When they finish, say, have you finished? And say, yes. Can I have my portion? Because what Paul is saying is that they may as well have gathered around and shouted, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are up above the world so high, like a god in the sky. He said, for all I care, that's what they have done. You don't get the point. They can say, very, very low, you remember, but like, the other one, when they finish, Allah, Akbar, Allah, Akbar. Everybody that eats this one, we serve Allah till he dies. Everyone that eats this one, witches will come to meet him at night. You know, if there are Christians that if they hear that, they won't eat meat again. Paul said, have you finished? Yes. Can I have my portion? Because as far as I am concerned, all you have been doing all the while, all you have been doing all the while is dancing. You know, you've just been dancing over the meat and shouting, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his hump, and Jill came tumbling after. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Paul said, as far as I'm concerned, that's all you have been doing. So, will I eat meat that you have said Humpty Dumpty upon? Yes. Do you understand? That's the last time we had a meeting, maybe remember, in Benin, and people were saying that, hey, we have to be careful. All these are our cartoons. So, you look at it now. I say, hey, excuse me, please. Brethren, relax. Stop seeing demons in every lock that does not open on time. Children watch TV, say they are trying to infiltrate the heart of the children just because they showed one or two monsters. Look, I love Monsters Incorporated. I love you, that movie, spiritual, very, very deeply spiritual. Now, please, I hope you are getting my point. That's what Paul was trying to explain, that look, a man desires to sacrifice, shout Allahu Akbar. No, those of you didn't know that, I'm telling you the truth. Go over to the world, it'll be like Lagos State. Every public abattoir that you enter the place, there's they are malams, that's their job. Go and sanctify every meat that they kill. Paul said, you may as well read the nursery school rhyme over the meat. It is the same thing. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Now, that's what Paul was saying. He said, however, some Christians don't understand this. If they eat that meat, they will dream bad dream. They will dream bad dream. So, if you see people like that, you follow. Avoid eating such meat in their presence. Why? You don't want them to go and eat meat that will give them bad dreams. That's all Paul was saying. You know, something happened recently, and it was afterwards I began to think. Paul made a statement here, which I want all of you to note. He said, however, verse 7, not all men have this knowledge, however, But some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol. Let me explain what I'm saying. We had a couples party some time ago in church. We do that once a year, at the end of the year. Yearly is a real party. Christian, no, it's church couple, so. All right. It was when I say party, real party. There's food, there's drink, and there's plenty of music. And the only preaching there was the little I gave before we prayed the closing prayer. Like 5 minutes. So the whole, it ended maybe like almost 12 midnight. It was quite late, around past 11 to 12, that's when we ended. At least somewhere in Independence House. Everybody there, couples from church. All right? It's couples party. It was a very nice evening. Everybody appeared with his wife, and every woman appeared with her husband, and they danced and everything. Now, some of the music played were not gospel. No, I mean gospel. They're just music, dance music, and, you know, in quote, worldly music. So at the end of the day, as the pastor, see, I answer a question, Tayo. Please, Pastor Banker, I've been meaning to ask you. You know, that night, I really enjoyed myself. You know, I danced. In fact, my husband and I have not had that kind of time in a long time. But, you know, yeah. You know the interesting thing? I didn't think about it until questions started flowing. And all those love songs. I thought it was your husband you were dancing with now. No matter how sex in quote the song is, you are singing it for the person where it's legal to sing it for. No, be so. In fact, one of my wise friends said, the Holy Spirit woke up at night and said that was wrong. Hey. I'm not getting answer to that one, no. The Holy Spirit said, I am disappointed, you of all people. Hey. Brethren, after that morning, now I keep quiet and not talk again. I now began to think. The one day I heard Pastor Poggi sharing something. I've forgotten what he said, but there's something he said in that whole message that struck me. Which is just, now I'm seeing here, now that's what Paul was saying. He said, Pastor Banky, what's your own? I'm not trying to seem righteous or anything. But that's just the way I am. I have never been to a non-Christian party in my life. In my whole life, since I was born till today. Apart from person die, you know, Obito. And they are burying somebody and we're under the canopy. And they are playing, Akonde Obezere is playing there. You know, apart from the real Owambe of somebody they wed. But see, people, they dance, they jam music and they're dancing. I've never gone there. That is, I've never even seen it apart from on television. And I'm not joking. No. I've never seen it in real life. Apart from, I may know that they are doing party behind this wall. Do you get what I'm saying? So, Paul said, now, not all may have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to idols until now, I wasn't accustomed to the idol. So for me, if no matter what you sing, rock with me tonight. Do you understand? I'm rocking that night with my wife. I have no problem with it. Do you know, it was later while meditating suddenly hit me. Oh, that was the problem. For some people, it's a memory of non-Christian circles. I didn't have that memory. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what Paul was saying, that, listen, you heard my opinion. You heard me say the other time. I don't believe you smoke means you are not a Christian. A man who cannot be dependent upon is a worse Muslim than the guy who smokes that says he's a Christian. That's what I'm concerned. What is it then? He says, sick smoking, I say, show me from the Bible. You see, your temple is the temple. What is the temple? The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But you shall have my every night. You never heard of cholesterol problem. You see now. You see now. I said, it's food. It's food. Nothing. No, it's just. Those who just eat fast food every day is poison to your soul, in case you didn't know. to your body is poison. Does that now make you an unbeliever? I'm not saying you should go and smoke. Any man who smokes, if you can see me after, I will pray for you that the Lord might it's addiction. It's bad. It may be lawful. Paul says not expedient. We discussed that one about 2 weeks ago, right? So I don't want to go over that again. That day I talked about coffee. There are Christians who are addicted to drinking coffee. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if a man, they chew taba, no, they call taba, he thinks that one is a sin. And the one who smokes is going to hell. But he that drinks coffee morning, that's 10 times in the morning, 12 times in the afternoon, slows down at night so he can sleep, and 6 times at night, he's not sinning. He doesn't exercise though. He's just chopping and chopping and growing fat every day. It's not a sin. You are getting what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So, I'm trying to bring out an issue. But then, that's what I think. Some say, do you know, they said they are Christian, and I saw them drinking stout. The first thing I heard that one, I couldn't tell the person, say, so is that the proof to you that they are not Christians? You want me to show you Christians who have said, that is not around when that is right at home? So you saw them drinking stout. Anyway, I'm not trying to encourage you to go and start drinking. No, I don't drink. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's not the point I'm making. I'm trying to say that sometimes we learn fast. Now, well, this is my attitude. If you invite me for an occasion, number one, I don't drink stuff, so that's out of the point. I don't smoke, it's out of the point. You get what I'm saying? But generally, good. I will not go for an occasion. And on the table where I am, you will serve, you know, maybe I have friends there, and then I say, okay, give me a bottle of beer, give me a bottle of stout. I say, hey, boys, please, if you start that, I'm going to the next table. You say, why? Before Chukwuike passes and says, pastor is drinking, there's nothing wrong with the drink, so let us start drinking. Then he starts getting drunk. No, I don't know whether you get the point. Yes, but from a distance, he doesn't understand what is going on. Just, So, pastor is drinking. Praise God. I remember that I made a statement one day that the Bible told the people, that God told the people that when you are bringing your tithe for the year, you use it to buy anything you like, including strong drink. One brother came and said, please, where's the scripture that says including strong drink? He wanted to know the scripture. Like, so pastor, you're saying it's all right. That was not what I meant though. You know, like the bro who heard me in the back clicking and said that after I heard me preach it, today I don't know what he heard me say. He said to be a barman. He only heard me. All of you have heard what I said on radio. When he said it, I wanted to fall down. Like, holy Zemeka, what did I say? You better become a barman. Me, I back you. Ba, Oluwa Olorun, forgive me. Why did I preach that one? And the guy was speaking excitedly. No, he wasn't joking. No. He was wearing this Nigerian flag. And so it was while he was walking at the bar that a man left the flag on the table and he took it and he knew that that's what God wanted him to get from that place. Because now he came today and he saw me and another Yanka wearing our Nigerian flag. So God is going, you know, like, I say, oh Lord, God, please, forgive me. Let nobody carry this attitude away. Very soon now, they will be selling a bow and they say, it's Pastor Banky that said there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, the Lord is good. So what I'm going to say is that, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So sometimes you do things simply because you don't want anybody to enter into trouble because they don't understand what you are doing. You get my point. I told you then, it was recently I really understood that a lot of people don't talk about things, but they know the truth. You've heard me say, I told you earlier that my wife said that I was the strangest Christian she ever met. People say they are fasting. He said that you say, how many times do you fast? I said, what do you mean? I'm always fasting. I'm fasting every time. As you see me so, I'm on a fast. They wake up and they want to say, today is a fast. We won't break till 6 o'clock. I said, Sister Lee, when are they hungry at the chop? Regular. You can't deny me that one. I don't overeat, as God knows. Since morning, I left home this morning before eating. In the afternoon, I ate granola and biscuit and a bottle of Coke. That's all I have eaten till now. Really. There are times I reach home. My wife said, you don't go eat. I said, I don't feel like eating. And there's something they do in that house, especially Neka and Sheon. Those are the adults in the house, apart from my wife and I. Once it's 9 o'clock, they clear the kitchen. You never chop, it's your personal problem. When I say clear the kitchen, I mean any soup remaining is in the freezer. Even the but when not finished, it's in the freezer. So so you never chop one time, and it how is happening. Like, you all enter the place. You say, ah, you're not eating. I'm not going to talk anything, but once it's time to clear, they just assume, say, this guy, no, he don't want chop. You know, I don't even think about it. You all clear the whole thing. And I know they complain. I just reach there. I just say, Gary, they're here. Yes. I put them for inside cup. I put sugar, put granite inside, mix them, put water, chop them, cross my leg, wash CNN, and go to sleep. And it's a good life. Believe me, it's a good life. I'm not complaining at all. So it's not as if I can't do without eating. But I found out that if I'm too hungry, the Lord wouldn't hear me. So I'm very careful to make sure that when I'm talking, the Lord can hear. So if I'm praying, Father God, and I can't talk again, I say, God, I know you are not hearing what I'm saying. So let us eat so that you can hear us very clear. I said it like jokingly. People thought, I went to the building last time, and there's one brother, Brother Peter. Piro. In fact, I told my wife, I know they stay in the same room with him again. A number of times now, we have gone for programs, and they have lodged me in the same room with this guy, and I can't sleep. Because he sleeps relatively earlier than I do. But whether he sleeps early or late is besides the point. At 3, by 4 a.m. or so, he's awake and he's praying. I may be awake till 3 a.m. And I want to sleep till 8. By 4, he speaks in Russian tongues, Japanese tongues, Nigerian one, and English on top of it. This brother Lou, they pray. Last time we went for our convention, he was around. First night again, me and him in the same room. Ah, God. I couldn't sleep. I told my wife, see, now this guy, they go. I don't know why they go put me and him in the same room. Then the next night, I was in there. Another brother stayed in the same room with him. In the morning, the guy said, Pastor Banky, now I understand. I understand what you are complaining about because he too couldn't sleep. So when that brother and I, one day we were talking, the guy, they pray, can fast. He said there was a time he used to fast a lot. He said he now discovers that the best way to fast is as you are fasting, if you're hungry, quickly go and eat something and come and continue the fast. I said, ah, you believe that too? Yeah. But I know you won't preach it outside. I said, I knew that long ago. The difference between you and me is that me, I can say it outside. But you know, go talk outside. I judge, let me use Paul's example. I judge that the distraction occasioned by hunger is worse distraction in ministering to the Lord and receiving revelation than the one occasioned by eating a little bit of food. That's a matter of fact. No, that one I believe it so absolutely. Are you not fasting? I'm fasting, but you're eating biscuits. I say I'm hungry. Ah, but you should be fasting. I say you don't get the point. I am. But you're eating. Yes, I'm hungry. You don't. The issue is that if I don't, I can't concentrate. No, I don't want to talk about the matter of fasting now, but this what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. When I say they are fasting, they have left their homes, have gone about their businesses morning till night. You work in a bank, you have been calculating and concentrating on customers, you don't remember the Lord. But you say, are you not eating? So praise, thank you. We are fasting in my church today. All right, next, you're walking. See, Miss Pa, you know what? No, we're fasting today. And you walk till 6 p.m. Say, time to break the fast. They don't close for the canteen. You drop the offer, quickly rush. Chop. Continue. Tally up your books. Get back home at 8 p.m. Say, how many of you participated in the fast? And you feel very holy and righteous. Can't fool me, my friend. You haven't fasted, Jack. He's concentrating on spiritual things that is number one. So I was just saying that some of the things, however, you don't want to go around shouting them. Do you understand my point? Because you want to give people offense. That's why I said that. Then when my wife was married, she thought I was a very unusual kind of person. But as time went on, she began to understand that I'm operating based on what I have come to understand. You are a witness that most of the things I do, I can assure you haven't seen a lot of them before. If I tell you one, you will laugh. How many meetings have you been to in your life and they don't start with songs and praise, worship, and clapping? Be honest. Christian meeting, no? But from the beginning, I told you I want to teach. I'm not leading anybody in praise worship. I'm not singing. I don't have to start raising money for instruments and keyboard. You know, it makes my life very easy. You know, yes, I don't need keyboard. I don't need anything. When I went to buy our equipment, I reminded my friend Kelechi. I said, Kelechi, you know, see, I don't get choir. So I just want a good amp that can carry two microphones maximum. Just make sure it's very good. So he selected one that said, ah, you don't get guitar, not get, you don't get bass guitar, not at all. Lead guitar, no. What? No backup microphone, nothing. We have only two microphones. This one and the other one. And only one works at a time because no two people talk at a time. Why do I do it like that? I have found out the reason why we are gathered is that we want to teach. I'm not here to sing. So we'll pray for a few minutes at the beginning. We teach. We pray for a few minutes at the end. And we go home. I do it out of persuasion. Then my wife found out that this guy, I didn't even used to invite people. Say, you have not even come for Bible study. Come, you will be blessed. Once I know you are aware that the Bible study holds, I leave you there. But to be dragging you, say, no, I haven't seen you for 2 days. Come now. You know, I'm telling you. You know, I don't do it. My wife tried to explain to me that it's necessary. At the point in time, I did it for a few people a few times. Not that I stopped again. The only thing is that I will make sure you are aware. What I owe you is the knowledge. Make sure that you know. I want to make sure you know. After that, if you want to come, good for you. If you don't want to come, come on, you are an adult now. Wait. And like they say in our country, in Enugu State here, they say, come chop, no become walk. That's my principle. Oh, the Lord is good. Now, let me just conclude what I've been trying to say here. So, that's what Paul was explaining. That even though you know something is right, and you know the real thing about it, sometimes you are careful how you use your knowledge of the truth so that you don't cause other people to offend. It's like, you know, like when we go for seminars, as a matter of rule, if you're a lady with us, you don't show up in trousers. Nothing here, you can do that, but we go for seminars, no. You get my point. I just want to appear, you know, neutral. Let everybody receive you for the message you are preaching. That's why what I understand, the principle I have about tithing and all of that, I don't discuss it everywhere. In fact, one of my books, that's why the book is a bit delayed in coming out. I don't just want to give offense unnecessarily. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes, you don't want to do that. All right, you want people to just be able to relate with you without classifying you in a particular group first, and you don't want to offend other people who will copy what you are doing without having any knowledge of the truth behind it. I hope you've understood what I have said. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I think we can leave that here and we'll depart. All right.